You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.
This is Donna Miro. I'm the founder and executive director of LA Youth, the newspaper by and about teens here in Los Angeles. 20 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down student press rights in a major decision that was really quite a blow to the student press, giving control of student journalism to school administrators. I was angry about that decision, and the decision came down on January 11th, 1988, and that very day in the afternoon, I gathered a small group of teenagers around my kitchen table and said, we're going to publish a newspaper. We had no money, no computer, no office, and we just had an idea, and I told the teens to start developing story ideas, and I would go out and raise some funds to get the first issue off the ground, which we did 6 weeks later.
Wow, what a fantastic story and a great opener, really. So thank you, Donna, for joining us here today. I just want to ask you a little bit of logistics. In other words, for anybody who doesn't know what LA Youth is, give us a bit of a flavor of like the topics you cover, maybe a bit about your reach and circulation as well.
LA Youth has the largest circulation in the country of any teen-written newspaper. Our circulation, six times a year we publish the newspaper, and we print 120,000 copies. Wow. Our key distributors are teachers. The newspaper goes directly into classrooms. Teachers request copies that they use in the classroom for discussion, for essays, for expository writing. The teachers really bring the paper into the hands of teens. And we deliver the paper free of charge to more than 1,300 teachers throughout Los Angeles counties. So a lot of area, about 100 square miles. LA County is very sprawling. What happens, there are sort of, we're a two-way street, really. Teens come to LA Youth, and they come here because they have a story, they have an idea they want to share, they have a problem, and they meet and they talk about their ideas. Every Saturday we have a teen editorial meeting from 1 to 3 p.m., and they meet with our three editors. And from there, the teens meet individually with the editors and begin to develop their story, and draft after draft, and as the ideas progress. The paper's laid out here in our office. Everything is done on Apple computers, and we've had the good fortune for the past 18 years to have our printing donated. The Los Angeles Times, the major newspaper here in Los Angeles, donates the printing. We could never afford to have a circulation that large.
Wow, it's great to have those partnerships in kind of tow, if you like. And tell us about, because you got 20 years now of being live, in a sense, and your 20th anniversary is coming up. And I know you got something interesting planned, and tell us a bit about what you got planned. But also the question I want to pose to you is why you've lasted 20 years.
I've often asked myself, how have we survived? There have been a few times when I've nearly closed the door, when funding has just, you know, run dry. We're mainly supported by foundations and individuals and some corporations. We do not accept any government funds. So every year, the start of the fiscal year, I start writing grants all over again. Our budget is approximately $700,000 these days. We have a full-time staff of five, and we have, you know, rent to pay and other expenses. But I think I have this great passion for getting youth stories and young ideas out there, especially in light of that the mainstream media seems to ignore the pressing issues. Of course, there's a headline and a front page story when there's youth violence or some kind of tragic situation, or the schools aren't performing. But we have other stories to tell. And the teens who come here have stories to share about life in the foster care system, or someone who's on probation, getting into college, finding a summer job, how to open a bank account, Our stories are relevant to our readers, and our readers are majority of them are 13 to 19 years old, and they take what we publish and they internalize it in their lives, and they make decisions, hopefully wise decisions, based on their peer-to-peer stories. It is a struggle to keep the doors open, but now that our 20th anniversary, we're not having a gala dinner. We are going to have a serious roundtable discussion on January 29th. I contacted several of our alums, a few who were teens 20 years ago, and a handful of our current writers, and I've asked one of the columnists from the LA Times to moderate a discussion. And we're going to have this in our office, a conversation. What have been the compelling issues over the past 20 years? Mental health, we've written about it, mental health coping, suicide, eating disorders, more than any other issue in the past 20 years. And we'll look at the issues today. Are teens accessing the services? Have schools improved? Is there still gang violence? We've invited judges, social workers, community leaders, elected officials to our office that morning to listen in on the conversation. We think that's the best way to celebrate 20 years. We're also publishing next week a special edition. It'll be 40 pages. Normally, we publish a 28-page tabloid. And the 40 pages will include a retrospective of some of the best-of stories. And then we'll also have current stories and looking ahead and reflecting a bit on what's changed in the community and how LA Youth is still growing up.
Wow. Wish I could be there for that event. That sounds wicked. Now, tell us a bit about how you have diversified, or if you have, in sense of there's new technologies, there's new online platforms, and we know young people's it's becoming pervasive in young people's lives and more relevant to young people's lives, all that side of it, digital technology, etc. And you're still print. So I'm not saying that as a negative, but how have you diversified in that respect, or kept up to
date? I'm frequently asked that question now. Teachers want hard copy in the classroom. People still want to hold a newspaper. You can go online and read all of our stories, and we try to drive educators there, but very few of the schools really have internet access. So the classroom use, they don't want teens sitting in front of a computer doing all of their work. The newspaper is very, very relevant. We're also very popular in local libraries, and all of the libraries have been upgraded, and they too to reach our teen writers, though. It used to be we had, you know, just to call them up or try to fax something to them back and forth when the story's being edited. But now email is very easy, and we have many teens who live 70 miles away who can't get into the office very often. So this is a perfect way to work with them. And of course, the question is, what will we look like in 5 years? And we're going to start working on a technology plan to maybe do some projections. What's coming down the road? And but we believe we will always be a print product.
Wow. Well, I'm going to end this interview with a question about some of your success stories. You already mentioned you've already got some alumni and relevant people, but tell us about, from your perspective, you've been involved in 20 years, you've probably seen loads of kids through your doors, but pick out a couple, if you will, and tell us really how what you've offered become relevant to those young people's lives.
I think perhaps the most touching situations that I've ever witnessed has been the transformation of youth in the foster care system. And LA County has more than 30,000 children in foster care. And they come here and they tell stories of family abuse, being neglected, bouncing from one home to the next. And they tell us that this is the first time in their life they've had any kind of success, is seeing a story published with their name. And I think that, to me personally, has been the most important thing. We have also written a couple of stories, one that dealt with mental health, where teens were incarcerated in private psychiatric hospitals without due process. And our story was picked up by 60 Minutes, CBS News, and the LA Times. We got a lot of attention from that story, and legislation was passed in California giving teens the right to a hearing within 72 hours when they have been confined to a mental institution. So I think that we're having an impact. We're advocates, and we're going to continue and expand to do more advocacy than ever before because we see that we can make a difference.
Well, Donna, I'd just like to thank you for giving up your time to speak to Media Snackers. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.